In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
We are starting over.
Okay, but I'm not going to do
something. You're not going to do the thing again. No. See, now we went. That was the thing. It was worried about the lawsuit.
Yeah, I guess so.
The bad news, people. Well, first, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast, I'm still going to do the same joke.
Okay.
That stopped watching American Bandstand after it got into color because it thought Dick Clark looked unnatural. The bad news is you've missed stuff. The good news is it was about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So you're good.
Don't worry. It's not like episode 12.
No. The best episode ever. And I told the same joke twice, so that part's fine. Anyway, welcome to this episode. What episode number is it?
58.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And Ezzy's here. We'll see if she shuts up. And rest in peace, Dick Clark. That was a little reference to you there earlier. Out of respect.
You know, I didn't know anything about the Paola scandal until recently. Do you know what that is?
Oh, in town here?
No. Well,
no, that's the prostitution thing in town here.
No. No,
a lot of people I work with have to find a new dentist.
What are you talking about?
Okay, tell yours first.
Well, it's just that when Dick Clark was doing American Bandstand, after a while, and it didn't take very long, if he had a record or a band or whatever on his show, well, they'd sell like 100,000 records in the first week.
Yeah,
after
makes
that.
Sense. Makes sense.
What I didn't know was that shortly thereafter, he bought some record companies, some actual record makers. he bought into a lot of companies that were in any way even remotely connected to making records, whether it was the actual record or the music on the record or signing the bands who make the records. And, you know, and that went on for a long time. And, of course,
was that even technically illegal back then?
I don't know if it was illegal, but it's...
I mean, ethically, obviously. And nowadays, I think it qualifies as collusion or whatever, but yeah.
Well, there was a little bit of a scandal, and he had to break everything up.
Again, ethically, it's not a good thing.
He had to get rid of some of his holdings if he wanted to keep American Bandstand and all that other stuff. But, man, can you imagine? And so, you know, he'd just get, hey, this great band from such and such a place. It didn't matter if he thought they were any good. All that mattered was that he owned them or he was going to make a lot of money.
I got to say, the most surprising thing I have discovered, besides the fact that Dick Clark can die, was a very common response, at least on Twitter, Ryan Seacrest Highlander jokes.
Oh, I never even thought of that.
Me neither. Hmm. And there have been a lot of them.
Hmm.
And it's clever, but it seems like it came from multiple sources, and I find it surprising that people put that together. But anyway.
I don't think I would ever... I mean, now it almost seems obvious, but I don't think I would have...
That's the thing, I didn't think of it either. And somebody did. I was like, oh, and then somebody else. And then, like, several. And I was like, huh? Trending topic now. So we loved you, Dick, and have fun or whatever.
In that Times Square in the sky.
You think the ball will fall on us? No, it doesn't.
The ball's dropping every day up there.
Yeah. That would get annoying.
I don't know. To some people, it's like the greatest thing ever.
Anyway, so welcome. For those of you just joining us, like that happens, here's the deal. William and I found a hat. It's magic. It doesn't talk. It's a magical hat of talking. It has its own email address. That email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And you can write questions and topics to it, and it will force us to discuss them by us drawing them out of the hat. And then we talk about them until we get bored. And that's pretty much the show.
It's a weird thing, this hat. You know, you reach in there. It there's always there's these little slips of paper in there. It never runs out.
Although that we know, don't jinx it.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's possible it could because
if people stop writing.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, because we happen to know or had noticed that, you know, people writing into the hat. That's what the content of these little pieces of paper are. And so I suppose, in theory, if people stopped writing, there wouldn't be any slips of paper in there anymore.
The hat might disappear in a big puff of postulated non-existence or something.
But whatever it is, we reach in there, there's something in there, we pull it out, and we read it. And
that we get sick of it.
And we're kind of compelled to do it.
Totally compelled.
It's a weird... it's hard to explain.
And this show's costing me even more money. This week, I finally got my crap together of changing who is registering the domain for me.
Okay.
Because it's about to come up again. And as longtime listeners will know, originally I went with a certain company and then changed my mind and switched over to a different company that I use now, HostGator, and they are all my web hosting stuff, and I love them. But I had still registered the domain with the other one.
Okay.
And so I've been going through the process of transferring it, which cost a little money, unfortunately.
But, oh.
But should have me squared away soon for that. So. Hey, don't make me stop recording and come back there. Sorry, the cats are fighting in the back. How was your week?
I was good, I think. I don't really remember doing anything of particular note. Although... we're watching Star Trek Voyager at home.
Not for the first time, I assume.
Well, for everybody but me. And I only watched part of the first season when it first was on.
That's a little how I was. I mean, I caught a few episodes here and there. When I met the producer, she was a big fan of it at the time. It was, like, current.
Mm.
And she was a fan at the time.
And we're enjoying
it. I do follow Jerry Ryan on Twitter.
Oh. Yeah.
AKA 7 of 9.
We're enjoying it. I remember liking it quite a bit when it first came out. And, you know, I didn't really own my own television after leaving home in 1987. But we had this...
broke into other people's houses and watched it on
there. No. Like, you know, I would go over to my brother's house and he would have something. And for a while I lived with... When I was married and... and there was this other married couple, and we shared an apartment, and they had a television that we would watch sometimes, but not even then very often. But for whatever reason, when Voyager came out, we had my wife and I owned this tiny little TV. I don't even know why we had it, because we didn't watch it. We didn't have cable. We didn't even hook it up at anything. But I knew Voyager was coming out, and I was curious about it. So I turned it on, and I watched it on this fuzzy TV, like the first couple episodes, and I really liked it. So I watched it for a little while that way.
Wait.
Hardly could see anything.
On a really tiny, fuzzy TV, were you convinced that Chakotay was being played by Eric Estrada?
No.
Because I think with a really fuzzy TV, you might think that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it wasn't quite that bad. And of course, after a while, that not only became really inconvenient, but it just wasn't worth doing. So I stopped watching. But I remember liking it at first, and I like it better now, I think, than I liked it when I first watched it. But I'm not sure why. Maybe because the two people I'm watching it with are really enjoying it a lot, and that kind of helps you enjoy something more.
I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Star Trek, and I've seen all the movies, and I've watched the TV shows and everything, and I don't begrudge it as a concept. I feel like, especially with Next Generation Forward, the TV shows got very sort of predictable.
Yeah, well.
And I feel like by the time I got to Voyager, I realized that. To be fair, I stopped watching DS9 about a third of the way through its run.
Mm.
But I feel like when I got to Voyager, suddenly I felt like I had seen each of these episodes before.
Well, one of the people in my household, she's 16, and she likes the original series, which we went through the entire original series some time ago, which I had never done. But it was streaming on Netflix, and we watched it. And I was surprised by a lot of the things that I thought about the original Star Trek that turned out really not to be true.
Example?
Well, for example, Kirk's character.
Yes.
You know, I watched it when I was little. Yes. You know, there it was in syndication when I was little. But most of what I most of my ideas of Captain Kirk were not informed by what I recalled from watching it when I was little. It was informed by the popular notions of him.
Like Kevin Pollak doing an impression of Captain
Well,
Kirk.
Just in general, the notion that, you know, he's got an alien woman in every port, kind of a womanizer
yeah,
kind of
the
thing.
The green alien woman is only from, like, the pilot or something.
But what I discovered was, and I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but I'm just going to say, first of all, there were a lot of relationships. You know, Kirk had a lot of relationships in the series, but he like genuinely fell in love with all of these people.
Yeah.
This wasn't some kind of a baby kind of
thing.
At
least, you know, as far as you know, he did.
Well, it's just that's the way they portrayed the character, is what I'm saying.
That's the way he portrayed himself.
No. That's
as soon as the end credits rolled, Kirk was like, "Yeah."
He also was really soft on his crew. I mean, his crew would do things that bordered on mutiny,
totally.
And he was like, "Oh, it's okay."
There was no fucking chain of command there. Well, which is evident when Next Generation happened. That was one of the beautiful things about it, is right off the bat, you go to a new planet, you send an away team, guess who doesn't go?
Yeah, well, not just that, but it's just, he was just so easy on him and everything. And even his tactical skill, which was supposed to be legendary, you know, was still not the kind of hyper rational, almost Sherlock Holmes type of thing. He was very emotional, and the thing is, he was portrayed in a way that was actually not typically masculine for that time, or even for now. I mean, he's a fairly sort of, I don't know. I don't think he's a simplistic character in terms of the gender dimension at all. But that's the way he's always portrayed, and so I'm watching this series.
Well, I think over
years, wow, this is amazing.
Shatner and Kirk have been blended, and I think Shatner really is a stereotypical sort of one-dimensional masculine portrayal.
Well, maybe that's so, but Captain Kirk was absolutely, and even the way they shot him.
Ezzy, will you just settle someplace?
You know how sometimes you see a big difference between how women are shot in a show and men. Even the way they shot him sometimes was like, well, you know, I don't know. It was strange to watch it with this idea that he was going to be portrayed and the shots were going to be set up a certain way, and his lines and the way he interacted with women, and it wasn't really that way at all. In fact, not only was it not that way, it was almost the opposite. And I thought that was very interesting, but.
I thought it was very interesting that Chekhov was added to the show to be a sexy young hunk to get the woman demographic. Seriously, he was actually cast to be essentially a Davy Jones type for younger girls.
Well, there was also a lot more sexism in the show than I remember.
Yeah.
I thought it was mostly limited to the way the women were dressed, but there was worse than
that, of course, by far. Yeah.
Also, a lot of the religious themes. I mean, the Christian bias in a lot of the religious themes was.
Oh, really?
Oh my goodness! I couldn't believe it. I just didn't think. You know, I'd always had this impression, again from popular notions, that it was this big progressive, you know, television show.
And it was
on the edge of
everything.
When it came
to racism only.
Yeah, I suppose.
But people like to conflate that. It broke great barriers with racism, but that was sort of it.
Oh, and another thing that surprised me was how many times they would come to a planet that was mysteriously Earth-like with no explanation at all. Like, wow, this planet's just a lot like Earth. And they wouldn't even explain why it was. I mean, I think the one that was the most like Earth even had the same shape in the continents and everything else, and they didn't explain it at all. There was another one where they went and everyone thought it was like the 40s or whatever, and they got this book.
Oh,
you remember that one?
Yes.
So there was a little bit of an explanation for that one, but there were a couple more times where it was pretty clear the people who wrote the story wanted something that was like going back in time or forward in time on Earth, but they didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So you just got to this planet, it's remarkably like Earth, and there's no explanation.
Yeah, have you had the Old West one yet? Or?
I think that's one of the ones I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Also, you know, another popular conception of Star Trek is that, you know, they had all of these shows that were challenging culture and everything, and the truth is only a few of them did that. Most of them were kind of corny and didn't really say any, didn't seem to me to say anything about culture or anything else. It was just really bad science fiction.
Well, yeah.
But what made every single show work, and what made the whole series work, really, and I think that what makes it immortal now, was the relationships between the characters. I mean, the stories could really stink, but the relationships were so amazing.
Yeah, there was good chemistry.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that when we finished with the original series and we thought, well, maybe the kids would like to watch Next Generation, they didn't like it as much. Because even though I thought the stories were better thought out and each story had something to say about science or society or whatever, they didn't think that the characters got along as
well. Well, they are different.
Oh, yeah.
They are very different. And so I can see if you liked one that you might not like the other.
Well, here's something that was interesting, too. We watched a couple episodes. They weren't that thrilled with them. But they wanted to see the Star Trek film where Captain Kirk dies, which is a Next Generation film.
It's technically the transitional one,
I guess.
that's why they call it Generations.
And what was interesting was, so they watched the first three episodes of season one of Star Trek The Next Generation and that Generations movie. And they had no problem, you know, recognizing all the characters. All the characters that they saw in just the first few episodes of season one were essentially the same. The relationships they had with other characters, essentially the same.
Yeah.
Data changed just a little bit, but there wasn't any sense on them watching the film that, gosh, I missed seven seasons worth of story.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, and I think, to be fair, I think some of that was how the portrayal happens in the movies.
Hmm.
Because I do believe there's character growth in Next Generation. It doesn't come for about four seasons. And
well,
then it gets a little shark jumpy.
Yeah,
when we start having baby Klingons and stuff like that.
Well, the character that has the most differentiation, I think, throughout the whole thing is Data.
Yes,
and
which gets really annoying. After
well,
a while.
And for me, I watched Next Generation. That was what we watched a lot of times on television when I was living with that other couple, and so I saw several seasons of it and I enjoyed it. But I mostly enjoyed his story. But I think my enjoyment of it was kind of determined a little bit by where I thought the character was going to go. And eventually, I didn't like where they took the character.
Yeah.
So now it's hard to watch even early shows because it's like, well, this is cool, but since I know where this is going, it's not so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, Brent Spiner, the actor who played Data, has a TV show, I think just a web series called Fresh Hell.
Hmm.
That I know nothing about, but I've recently started following him, so you should check it out. It's called Fresh Hell. I think it's at freshhelltheseries.com. I don't know. Google Fresh Hell. You'll find it.
Now, see, there's a guy who's awesome. Who's clearly a gifted actor and that kind of...
And who's fucked now.
Yeah. I mean, that's which is too bad because he would be great in a lot of things.
I saw an interview a long time ago. Maybe it's from the first Trekkies. I don't know. Where he said, like, I can never... people are never going to see me on anything... And not think, oh, it's Data. The best I can hope for now is that you see me in something and you say, oh, it's Data. And then a couple minutes later, you forget that. And he really is amazing. And he shows up in stuff now, frequently guest starring in things.
Yeah, I haven't
and
seen
he's
him
very
in
good.
For a long time.
He was in Alphas. He was in Alphas for an episode, and he was really good.
Golly, I didn't see that.
But if you really want perspective on his range, see him in the old Night Court stuff. He played two different characters.
Oh yeah,
in
that's
Night
right.
Court.
That's right. He was
one
like a
that
bumpkin,
was recurring. Yeah, but there was
bumpkin.
A different one where he played a ventriloquist.
Well, I don't remember that one.
That was long before, and it was one episode.
Huh.
It was there was something where a whole bunch of ventriloquists were arrested or something, so they were around all night, and he was a ventriloquist who hadn't found his right dummy yet, and so he refused to speak moving his lips until he did. And at the end of the episode, he ends up with a puppet that looks like Richard Mall. That's his puppet.
Oh, wait, I do remember that.
But then he came back as a bumpkin several times, yes.
Which
that
was a
reoccurring character.
Great role.
Yeah.
The only other film I remember him being in is, Independence Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the only other film I remember.
No, he guest stars on occasional TV shows, usually Sci-Fi Channel type things.
Yeah, it's too bad because he's obviously a very... good actor.
Yeah.
Why does that happen? I mean, you know, why?
If a role is iconic enough and resonates with people enough and goes on long enough, it's hard to get. I have that problem when I see him now. Brent Spiner, Data. just automatically.
But so what? I mean, like he said, if you're good, which he clearly is, you're going to forget that in just a little while.
Which is why he can still find some work. But remember, as you always forget in everything, but in this particular situation, the people who are generally making the decisions about making TV and making movies, not so much not stupid.
Yeah, I guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a constant problem we have with William. William doesn't understand things, the answers to which are usually yes, but people are stupid, so it doesn't work that way.
I just have a hard time with that idea, you know, because I know a lot of people, and they're not.
It's
none
the
of them
same
are
reason
stupid.
Most movies, TV shows, and video games that are made today are sequels and spinoffs and reboots.
Okay, but it seems like what's really wrong, you know, in these situations is these people are, like you said, trying to make money, and they're trying to do it with the
and they're risk averse.
Yeah, with the lowest risk, but hiring someone who's proven that they're a great actor would seem to be, you know,
dude,
avoiding risk.
Dude, George Takei couldn't get work after Star Trek because literally people said, we love you, you're great. We don't need a Sulu in this.
But he is an actor.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is the stupid part is they don't understand that these are actors. They don't understand what acting is,
apparently.
Basically. Oh, well, yeah, you know.
Or if you want to give them slightly more credit, all they know for certain is that George Takei can play Sulu. If they do not want that part, they are technically taking a leap to believe that he can successfully play some other type of role.
Yeah, but that still, I think, shows
but
a lack of understanding of what acting really
is
and
what
actors
do. I think a lot of showrunning and stuff involves not original roles, but you say, okay, so this guy's basically going to be this kind of role. And so you literally grab somebody who's played that kind of role before. I don't know. I don't work in the business.
But. See, if it were me, I would just say, well, who do I know are good actors? You know, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, nobody thinks like
it
that
wouldn't matter
in the actual business.
I mean, just to bring him in to Reed.
Yeah, nobody.
Because
thinks
if
like
they
that
if
in the business.
if he came in to Reed and it seemed like, oh, he's just doing Sulu, well then I'd know, okay,
absolutely.
Well that's not going to work.
Absolutely.
But I wouldn't know that before hearing him read. There's no reason to assume that that's what he would do.
No, I don't think that happens in actual big money TV and movies.
But what I'm getting at is that's actually causing them problems.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That all of the problems they think they're avoiding, they're actually causing.
Yes.
Okay. But
do you know why?
Because they're stupid.
Exactly.
No, I don't. Maybe they just don't understand. I mean,
seriously, people. I have spent years of my life with William over time, probably, and 80% of that is explaining this concept to him. That he's absolutely right, but he's forgetting the part that the people who are making the decisions in question are stupid.
Well, I can understand if they just don't get what acting is about. Because it is an art form. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Most people who don't paint don't really understand what's involved in painting.
I think most they maybe just don't get, or more accurately, don't care. I think, by and large, they're not looking for art. They're looking for commodity, and they look at that through a different lens.
Well, what that means is that it's just like any business today, especially in the West, where the people who are making the decisions about a particular thing are the people who know the least about it.
Yes. It also means, here's the thing.
I mean, CEOs don't know anything usually about the products they make or the customers that they're serving. They don't know anything about it. They're making
Have
all these decisions.
Have you noticed that when suddenly an actor that you've never seen before is a breakout hit in some movie, suddenly they're in like 12 movies in the next 3 years and frequently very diverse roles, and sometimes they succeed at it, sometimes they don't. But it's a known quantity. It's something commodifiable. They say, oh, this is what's hot. Let's shove this person into movies.
Yeah.
Chloe Moritz, who is great, don't get me wrong. I'm really sick of seeing her and stuff. They're putting her in everything right now.
Who's that?
Hit Girl, the vampire from Let Me In, I don't know. She's had a recurring role on 30 Rock. She's going to be in this Dark Shadows reboot, which is pissing me off.
I don't know who that is.
Did you not see Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
Hit Girl.
Oh, the little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's been 30 Rock, yeah. Oh, they're putting her in a lot of things, huh?
Yeah, she's in everything. Well, she's going to be in Dark Shadows.
I like what they're doing with her 30 Rock. I think it's
totally, she's awesome in
totally
30
funny.
Rock.
But yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. But I don't know.
What's his name? Pattinson. Edward Cullen from Twilight.
Okay, right.
Can't swing a dead cat without hitting a movie he's in these days.
So basically our culture has evolved to this place where the value of everything, no matter what it is ultimately determined by how much money it's going to make. And then the people who are given the responsibility of figuring out how much money it's going to make don't know anything about the actual thing. I mean, they don't. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a weird.
Congratulations, William. You are a man.
But what I'm trying to figure out is what about our culture has caused that to happen? Is it just simply, well, it's just about money, and that's what happens when you're focused only on money? Morons rise to the top and make all these terrible decisions. Because why couldn't the people at the top be people who actually know what they're doing? How do people who don't know what they're doing get to the top of things? How does that happen?
I think their parents are at the top of things.
Really? It's that simple?
I don't really know. Somebody explain to William how it all works on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go there, explain it to him.
Because it still seems to me that, you know, the people making decisions about what movies get made would be people who have made successful movies.
Yes.
I mean, who have made them, or who are the artists themselves, not just...
It's the people who have... Remember, movies get made... The decision makers largely are the people who throw a bunch of money at it.
So does this go back to, like, medieval times when artists were supported by patrons. Princes? Yeah. Who didn't know anything.
I think you're talking about capitalism as capitalism's fault.
Oh, well, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, yeah, technically.
But art exactly patronage, it's what's at fault, but it's also what tends to do the good things. I mean...
But it's not the only way it can be done.
No, no, no.
It's just the way it has been done.
Yes.
Huh.
And now we made William sad.
No, I just really kind of wonder how that can be changed into something else. I mean, if things don't have to be the way they are, then why couldn't they be something else some way? You know what I mean? Why do we just live with it? Why doesn't someone think of a better way and, like, start moving things in that direction? I realize it's a huge juggernaut, you know.
Well, one
the industry.
Could argue that they have, to a certain degree, with the internet.
That's true, and independent film is sort
independent
of a big thing.
A huge thing.
Yeah, it is now.
It also gets bought up by the people with the money and then changed again.
And so. That is the thing that's killing us, I think, is that there, sometime in the recent past, the powers that be figured out, hey, why do we keep crushing all of this competition when we can buy it?
Yep.
And so they started doing
that.
And
this is a problem. If I were an artist, which I'm not, and I had real independent vision, and I made something really awesome, and big people came to me and said, here's billions of dollars, I doubt I would say, you know what? I want to hold on to my creative integrity, so no thank you, billions of dollars. Mm. But I'm an asshole. So that's it, too. There's the stupid, and then there's the assholes.
Well, no, that's not true. You just
like money?
No.
I like money.
It's probably the lazy thing, you know? I mean, that's the easier thing to do is to take the money, and then you don't have to work anymore. You could hire someone to do a lot of stuff that you don't want to do.
Because I'm not going to be in that situation to begin with, but yeah.
But see what I'm saying? It's not, but... I mean, is that just true for a lot of people that, you know, they don't really care about the art they're making?
And it becomes a slippery slope because let's say this is the level of your integrity. I'm making a visual gesture here to help people out.
That's a little higher than his head.
A little higher in my head. It is the level of your artistic message and integrity and so forth. And so your option is this on a shoestring budget.
Mm-hmm.
that you distribute by telling your friends how cool it is.
Yeah.
Or this, and you have millions of dollars to make it look exactly the way you want, and I will let the whole world know about it.
Right.
So which is more valuable to you? And that can just keep going.
Oh, but see, then you're talking about the same thing where you have a politician that you know, they really want to do good in the world, but they know they're not going to get elected unless they play dirty during the election.
Absolutely.
It's the same kind of thing. It's like, Well, how much good do you want to do in the world? Because you're not going to do anyone any good if you lose the election.
Exactly.
So you got to sort of lower your standards a little bit.
So if you have a message with your art, you have to balance the sanctity of the message with the liquidity to get it out there. If that's important to you.
Yeah.
If you're a pure artist, then you make the art and you are not concerned with who sees it.
Well, I don't think anybody makes art to just, you know.
Oh, there are some crazy people that do.
Well, I suppose, but, you know, like, I've written books and, you know, I've written them to be read. Now, you know, what am I willing to do to get them read? I have no idea. I've never really figured that out. But you know, I did write them for other people to read. I just didn't write them just because I thought it would be fun. But I don't know. Who knows what'll happen? But
I made this podcast for nobody to listen to it. But despite my best efforts, people keep listening.
There are several. You know what? I still haven't asked you how your week went.
No, that was your week, and it was over a half hour.
I shouldn't eat chocolate before I come over. I get chatty when
No,
I
but
eat chocolate.
You get happy, and that's good.
Yeah, but I don't talk too much.
Those of you who can't hear William right now, that's because you're hearing Ezzy's anus in front of the microphone instead.
She must smell.
She's being
something
a pain in the
jacket.
Ass, is what she's being. My week, in a nutshell, is I saw Nerdist Live.
Oh, yeah. Was that good?
It was pretty awesome.
Okay.
I won't go into detail, but it was awesome. Mm. I didn't meet them in person. But it was still awesome. And I finally saw Sucker Punch. Well, most of Sucker Punch.
Really?
Due to a DVR screw-up, I didn't see the last half hour, but then I went to the movie spoiler and just read what happened after that.
Oh.
And I feel that I am less of a person for having seen it. I feel that it is a checklist of what is wrong with the world today.
Yeah.
It was fairly sexist and misogynist, but that's just the tip of the iceberg of crappiness. And in fact, I'm a little disappointed in you that your review of it was as mild as it was, because I thought it was really awful. Terrible, terrible film.
Well, keep in mind that I watched it, and this 16-year-old young lady I watched it with actually liked it. Now, she had issues with it that you can imagine, but the thing is, you know, when you're a 16-year-old young woman, and what you really like to see are other young women beating people up and shooting them with guns. Sometimes you kind of overlook what they're wearing. I mean, it's kind of like what you just said, standards, right? You know,
yep.
It's like you can have really high standards and then not watch anything that's cool. Or
your
you
main complaint about it was the outfits, and that is just the beginning.
No, that's true.
Of what's wrong with
no,
that.
No, you're right. You're right.
In all sorts of levels, I mean, it's awful, but it also was really boring. It was really poorly put together.
Well, I just thought if the reason I complained about that one specific thing was because I thought if they'd corrected that one thing,
that was one of the really obvious
aspects.
Yeah,
it would have gone a long way to making all the other things not
so
bad.
But it was an amazing combination of offensive and really unentertaining.
No,
I see some terribly offensive stuff that still entertains the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I feel bad about it, but I like it. But this was just awful on so many levels. Anyway, so yeah, that was bad. And the producer has been gone a lot. She was gone this weekend, and then she came back for like a day, and then Tuesday morning I sent her off to a work convention, and she'll come back tomorrow night. So I've been living the bachelor lifestyle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly planning for my game, our Dresden Files game, now that Traveler's over. As of Tuesday, we have officially picked a location. It is going to be set in San Francisco.
Wow.
So we are in the process of researching that, and we're going to start city creation this coming Tuesday.
Wow.
Which is why I got Google Earth, and I'm now obsessed with it.
Yeah, I love Google Earth. I've got all kinds of markers where like my ancestors are from and all kinds of cool stuff.
At this point, I just stuck pushpins around the borders of the Tenderloin in San Francisco. But
oh.
One of my players discovered this awesome link that shows crime statistics for San Francisco as elevation on a map.
Hmm.
So like for a particular crime, it shows a, like a texture map, and the higher elevation means it was higher arrest records.
Mm.
And most of them, most of the maps for all for larceny and break-in and theft and prostitution and narcotics have a particular, there's like a mountain that's the same on all the maps in this one spot. And it's basically the Tenderloin. And so I was checking that out because it's going to be a game. So I'm like, you know, bad shit may go down there.
Yeah.
But I found lots of interesting resources. So that's cool. And that was my week. See? 4 minutes.
Sorry.
Let's take out the hat.
Yeah, we really should.
That's okay. They like hearing you talk. Remember, we went through this. They like hearing
you
talk.
Yeah, but there's supposed to be a balance of...
Dude, last time we spent a half hour talking about sandwiches, so...
Yeah, but at least that was from the hat. See? Anon wants to know how much wood can a woodchuck chuck?
Anon isn't a person. Anon means anonymous.
Yeah, but it says right there.
How much wood can a woodchuck chuck?
Well, I don't...
That's a terrible question. I hate you, Anonymous.
I think... If you do the research, you'll find that woodchucks actually do not chuck wood.
Yes, they're small. It's a groundhog.
No, it's not something they do.
They don't chuck wood, and if they did, it would be very little because they're not very big.
Yeah, they don't do it.
I
don't know why they call them that. If you're curious to know why would they call this thing a woodchuck if it doesn't actually chuck wood, I have no idea why they call it that, but I don't think they do that.
Very very little wood.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible question.
Well, I suppose that makes up for the going over in...
Which might explain why they were anonymous. Because they knew it was bad when they asked. So fuck you, Anonymous. There's your answer.
Check. I guess the answer to the question really is none.
Or very little at best. It says could, not does.
Well, can't... Yeah, how much can... I guess,
yes,
but
not a lot.
Not very
all
much.
Right.
An insignificant amount.
Well, and to ruin our day even more... Azure Talon. You knew it! You knew it was coming!
I did. It's like I can see it in your face. You have an Azure Talon face.
Magical Talking Hat Podcast, comma. What are your thoughts on extraterrestrial life, both sentient and non-sentient, and if they have or are visiting Earth? Azure Talon.
Do you have any specific opinions about that?
I, as is often the case with religion, I tend to feel the same with this kind of thing, fairly agnostic on the issue.
Oh.
I figure, I'm not, how the hell would I know? You know, really. I do like Carl Sagan's answer, basically, statistically speaking, the odds that there's no life anywhere in the universe besides here seems really ridiculous.
Well, even the odds that there's no other intelligent life
again
is
yes.
highly unlikely. Now, I think I've said this on the show before. I subscribe to a school where the statistical calculations kind of imply that intelligent life is nevertheless rare enough that you might find one intelligent species per galaxy.
Mm.
That's not unlikely. It might not be that way, but...
Okay, you do not get in the hat, little kitty.
We don't even know what that would do.
That would be bad for everyone.
But, so, you know, it's possible that in a given galaxy there is only one sentient race, maybe even at a time. Probably a lot more planets that have some kind of life on them. As to the question of whether or not any has visited here, I don't think so. There are a lot of issues with the notion that any of them have visited here, or would visit here, or could visit here.
But now that the Harry Potter thing has opened up in Orlando, I feel like more of them will show up now.
No, I just don't. I can't think of a reason why they would.
I know, actually. There is a reason. in the UK. I'm kind of pissed off. It's only in the... Seriously, what are you doing, Kat? I will end you.
What is her deal?
I don't know, but she's trying to crawl in the hat and trying to eat the computer. She didn't eat her supper tonight either, so I'm kind of pissed.
Maybe she's depressed.
No, in the UK, Pizza Hut has come out with hot dog stuffed crust pizza.
Hot dog stuffed crust pizza?
Yes. Stuffed a hot dog in the crust of the pizza. Aliens would come here for that.
Well, as we've already... You know, I know we've talked about this before because we talked about the McRib and how we're working with the aliens on that whole thing. Remember?
I thought we were just manipulating pork prices with that.
No, the McRib was...
By the way,
the McRib was their slave. They're slaves. They'd give us...
Oh,
that's
right.
Remember?
I am pissed off. I learned the other day, tonic water has carbs in it.
Huh. Didn't know that.
It's the kind of sugar water, basically, even though it doesn't taste that way. So the last time I'm having the vodka tonic, because, you know, no carbs, it's wonderful. Not so much.
Oh, I thought you were just drinking it straight.
No. Oh, that's rough.
Well, I don't know.
No, vodka tonic is my favorite cocktail. Carbs. Carbs in the damn thing. Pissed off.
Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying,
hot dog stuffed crust.
No. Yeah, I don't... A lot of people then
ask... How is that in the UK and not here? How do they think, oh, British people will eat that, but Americans...
I don't know.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I don't even
really know
why they had the idea.
Because Americans would eat it. I would eat it.
You would?
I would totally eat that.
That sounds awful.
Dude, I would totally eat that.
But I was going to say something about extraterrestrials,
yes,
and whether they'd
aliens.
Visit Earth. Well, for one thing, I...
Well, if they come from a different galaxy, it might be tricky.
I don't know why people assume, to begin with, that there is some technology that would allow any of us to travel in any meaningful or practical way, you know, great distances in space. I mean,
because it's really boring otherwise.
I know, but there's no scientific theory or technological breakthrough that suggests that we'll ever be able to do that. I mean, we would like that to be true, because, like you said, it's pretty boring otherwise. But the scientific facts really don't support this notion.
I don't know. Quantum theories of time and space theoretically suggest a possibility.
Well,
I'm not going to say they suggest a method at this point.
I don't even know how that's true, because most of that relies on the theories that apply to wormholes. But wormholes? How are you going to travel through a wormhole? Where is a wormhole going to take you? When is a wormhole going to take you? I mean, that's not a very reliable mode of transportation.
Did you not watch DS9?
See what I'm... You hear what I'm saying then. You know what...
And Farscape, for that matter.
There's just nothing that... You know, and then people ask, well, then what? How do you explain UFO sightings and whatever? And I think I've mentioned this on the show, too, is that...
You think it's secret government projects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... Why wouldn't it be that? That seems like a more simple and straightforward explanation.
Duh!
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Secret black ops projects.
You know, why guess that it's alien visitors and have all of these assumptions that don't make any sense, when it could just be the government's building aircraft that they don't want anyone else to know about? They do that all the time.
Oh my God. I can die happy now. I have heard William discredit a fringe conspiracy theory by saying that it obviously is a different fringe conspiracy theory.
No, it's...
Because
no.
Drunk Hicks really doesn't cover it.
No. Come on now. The United States government does conduct experiments with experimental aircraft. I mean, just about every aircraft we know today was once an experimental aircraft. I mean...
The Spruce Goose.
Well, think of this, of the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber. You know how weird those would have looked up in the sky before anyone knew what those were. And not only that, but I find it interesting that a lot of these sightings occurred...
Seriously?
Shortly after...
Stop it!
Shortly after Nikola Tesla died and his documents were confiscated illegally by the U.S. government. Can't be a coincidence. He had... His documents had experimental aircraft in it that, when people look at it today, they think, no, this wouldn't have worked. But that doesn't mean the United States didn't try to build them and they didn't crash in places and then never thereafter discovered by people. I mean, this isn't an insane theory at all. This is like, yeah, that's probably what happened. And then after a while, it stopped. After a while, nobody was seeing UFOs anymore. All that was happening in like, by the 70s, nobody was seeing UFOs anymore. In the 70s, it was all about being abducted.
Yes.
Which, that's a whole other explanation probably, because, you know, certain types of drugs were being used a lot in the 70s also. Probably a good correlation there between abduction stories and an increase in certain drugs.
I need you to write a history of the world. I really do.
Then in the 80s, there was almost nothing. And now people are seeing things again. But now, this is what's interesting. Now when people are seeing things, they have phones and everything. But when they take pictures of these things, you can look at them and you can see, that doesn't, I mean, that looks like an aircraft that, you know, the United States or someone might be have made and is testing. It's not that strange looking. It's not behaving in a weird way. It's probably just someone got a snapshot of an experimental aircraft. Big deal. I just don't. There's hardly been any stories about UFOs that have impressed me. But again, I'm sure we've talked about this before.
You know, Nikola Tesla was actually an ancient vampire. Have you not watched Sanctuary?
I think you have already mentioned this.
It's the thing, and he's kind of an asshole.
I think you've already mentioned that, too.
But then he got cured.
We're recycling a lot of material here, I think.
Magnetic. I don't know what you'd call it. He did shit like Magneto did.
Okay.
What would you call that? Magnetopath?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Magnetophile? No, that's somebody who has sex with magnets.
But you are open about the whole alien thing. I mean, you're okay with the notion that maybe they visited here.
I am open to the idea that I am in no position to know.
Okay, well, yes, and of course I'm open to that notion too, but when someone tells me a story, I can examine the claims and you know, kind of...
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't examine.
Well, I do.
I could probably do the research and be much more skeptical about it, but I haven't. So I'm not going to say, well... I don't know, and I do that with some things. I tend to take global climate change at the word of the scientific community. But there's other stuff. Again, well, I've talked to you about this. I don't know if I talked to you about this on the air. I try, one of my sort of life philosophies is, as long as it doesn't matter, I try and believe everything people tell me.
Okay.
Because there's no reason to contradict or disbelieve somebody if it doesn't actually matter.
No, yeah.
And
yeah,
at
I
this
think we
point,
have talked about this before.
Whether or not there are aliens has very little impact on my day-to-day life.
No. And mine neither. I mean, one of the reasons why I've researched it and given it some thought is because as someone who likes to tell stories, you know, I often wonder, well, what... Could I tell a UFO? Could I come up with something story about UFOs that I would feel like it was fun to tell the story? And the fact is, I've never really gotten into UFO stories, and I couldn't figure out why that was. And as I kind of sorted through it and thought about it, I realized I think it's implausible. I don't think I could tell a good UFO story because it doesn't resonate with me at all.
It doesn't for me either. It's not something I have. I mean, science fiction does, but concepts of aliens watching us from afar and then abducting us and probing us and shit like that never has done a lot for me.
Doesn't even freak me out, stories like that. I mean, my brother, one of my brothers, he finds these types of stories really creepy, and he wonders about stuff like that, but it doesn't
it would be creepy if they showed up and did that shit to me, but I don't.
Now see, here's an interesting thing. I don't believe in ghosts, but ghost stories can creep me out. I don't know why that is.
You are a broken human being.
Oh, that's why.
So,
yeah. I keep forgetting that part.
Largely, that's the thing. I thought I had something to add, but I've forgotten. Okay. Next question. Thank you, Azure Talon, for your question that has exposed... Oh, I remember. I was going to ask if you had a theory about who shot JFK.
I don't have a theory about it.
Who shot JFK, William?
Lee Harvey Oswald did.
Wait, you were on the Warren Commission, weren't you? Who paid you to say that?
Stuart asks, if you had a time machine, let's say it's a silver Camaro, to keep it contemporary, which time period would you visit first? We already had this question like 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago.
From David, and it was way less disturbing, because this tells you something right here about Stu. Young Stuart thinks a silver Camaro is contemporary.
You know, we didn't really talk very much about the mechanics of time travel, though. We spent a lot of time actually answering the question of where we'd go.
What's your favorite model of time travel out there, of all the science fiction?
Well, you know what's funny is time travel doesn't thrill me either. I for some reason, I can't really get into time travel stories. And I generally think that that's something else that the universe would just not even permit for some reason. So it's hard for me to really get into time travel stories. Or, you know, so to say, I can't even pick a favorite because they all sort of bother me in a way.
I like, well, the one I really find interesting, actually, is there's a role-playing game called Continuum that attempts to do, as close as you can come to, hard science time travel, which, you know, sounds like an oxymoron, but they try really hard. Mm. And it's fascinating to me, and it's really, I'm too scared to run it. Because it's very sort of involved, because everybody can travel through time. People, like just every character, can move through time at will. Mm-hmm. And so it gets really tricky. But in standard genre work, my favorite, I think, is still the TV show Gargoyles. Because their time travel is basically... it's done already. So, whatever happened, happened. And if you go back in time, it still happens. You clearly just didn't, like, you didn't notice...
that you'd gone back
something.
In time.
Yeah, things like that. Mm. Well, and it gets some... There's a great moment about that where one of the good guys goes to pick up one of the bad guys who's... They've been hopping around time, and he says, I should leave you here. And he says, ah, but you wouldn't. Because you didn't. Time travel's funny that way. And it does a lot. And I was like, and again, I take that view as religion, because I'm always like, you know what? If God's omnipotent, or omniscient, already knows, like, the whole free will thing, really pointless. Because God already knows what decision I made. You know? And if I say, well, then I'm going to change it. He knew I was going to do that, because he knows. And this is, so I like that time travel version. I mean, you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, and because it throws out the whole paradox thing. Because when you have the paradox thing, then you have to get all magic-y. Like, well, one way or another, yeah. Then you have to deal... Then you've fully jumped into a realm that then you got to make some shit up.
Yeah, well,
to explain it.
There's also the notion, of course, that as soon as you leave one time and enter another, you're creating a whole different thing and you can never really go back to the original. You haven't changed.
Yes.
You haven't changed the timeline. You know, if you wanted to go back and change something in your own life, well, that's not going to happen. As soon as you exit this time and enter this time, it has to be different because you didn't go back and change that. So now you're in a completely different timeline and you can't really get back to the other one. And every time you try to get back to it, you're just going to go into a new one and a new one and a new one. So there's no real way
to
do it.
At best, you'll get into the one that you went back after you went, and now it looks similar. But no, and this is...
You might find one you like better.
The Continuum people, the game got published, but it was largely sort of a grassroots effort, and it was very small scale. And it... You're sort of the time police, in a way. Like, your primary antagonists are these people who are attempting to manipulate the time stream for their own use, or, more commonly... They're trying to alter the timeline or go to like an alternate timeline. Mm-hmm. And you, in this game, there is no such thing as an alternate timeline. All you can do is just screw things up. And in fact, there are chunks of time that are so damaged because of this, that they're just mess. But let me finish. Because, so that's the premise of that game. They had a second game that never actually got published. There's like a first draft floating around that was from the other side's perspective. You were playing the people who were trying to alter to an alternate universe. And the interesting thing about that is the two games were completely incompatible intentionally. in the Continuum game, there literally is no such thing as an alternate dimension, and you can just, like, essentially break everything. And so you have to focus. And in the other one, literally, you were constantly making alternate timelines. Hmm. And that was sort of the point. And they had rules for basically how much paradox you create until it splits off from what the time was.
Yeah, but see,
like
the thing about stories like that of, and, you know, Doctor Who has this fundamental problem for me, too, is, you know, the timeline is being corrupted. But how do you, who's deciding what the timeline was originally or what the you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do we know which timeline is the real timeline?
Well, and Doctor Who gets away with it because Doctor Who's just fantasy.
No,
Doctor
no, no,
Who's
I, not I understand that, but what I'm saying is...
Star Trek's time travel pisses me off. Fucking time police show up and... Yeah, wait for that in Voyager. You got the goddamn time police led by the father from that 70s show. You are in for some serious bullshit
okay,
soon, buddy.
This is what I mean. Who decides what the timeline is, and then it...
The fucking Federation.
And then if it gets changed, you know what I'm saying? That I can't... It's not just that I can't grasp that from a story perspective. I can't even grasp it from... It doesn't seem to make sense in any
it
way.
It becomes political, because somebody has to decide what the best timeline is. And I always like that, too, because you can't go back and... You don't want to go back in the past, because you'll fuck things up. But we can totally fuck things up now, because it doesn't count if it's the future.
Right. Although that's... our future is someone else's past.
Exactly, so that, but it's not mine, so I'm good.
Yeah, see, I don't... Not only does that bother me as a plot device, I don't understand how it works even logically. It seems logic all breaks down, and it just... I can't even wrap my brain around it. I mean, I know what it means. I know what they're saying, but I don't know how they could think as they're writing it that it works. Because they just think people will buy it, or...
I'm trying to think if this is another people are stupid answer.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know. People, get onto the blog and help explain to William how time travel works.
Well, it doesn't work. That's why it's never going to happen. The universe would never allow it.
You have a lot of belief about what the universe will and won't allow.
Well, yeah.
Seriously.
Because the, you know...
Have you ever seen a man slaughter a cat?
No, and I don't
with
want
his hands.
No, I don't want to see that.
Then you might have to leave now, because I'm...
The universe has a lot of rules. Or, you know, what we perceive as rules, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the point.
But they reply to us. But they, you know, whether or not, you know, their rules as far as the universe is concerned, I suppose that's another question, but they apply to us.
Insofar as we can perceive.
And our perception is very limiting.
Yes, but our understanding of our perception is far from complete.
I suppose that's true.
I think you get a little arrogant when you assume definitely this shit is the way it is because we know this shit. Because we don't know shit about this shit.
Well, I don't... I know what you're saying, but I think there are some things you can definitely say. And that are probably going to be true for human beings forever.
See, that strikes me as very arrogant.
How's it arrogant? It's just... I don't. What's arrogant about that?
To assume that you know anything.
Well, it's,
that will be true
no,
forever.
It's not about knowledge. It's...
Well, it kind of is.
No. It's not about... No, it's not really about knowing something. It's about... It's about how things, you know, seem to always manifest themselves. And again, yes, things can change, and maybe we have a limited understanding. I get all that, but I think that, you know, from a philosophical standpoint, there are probably going to be some things that are true forever. I don't know that. I'm not claiming to know.
Okay,
it.
From a philosophical standpoint, you can't ever call somebody arrogant from a philosophical standpoint because philosophy is inherently arrogant. So it's just, you know, redundant. But so I can give you that.
I think philosophy or a philosophical mindset or a philosophical tendency is actually a mental illness
that
I'm horribly afflicted with.
Yeah, you are. Jesus Christ.
I would not.
Ugh.
If I had been born in an earlier epoch, and I'm not even saying that long ago, anywhere earlier than 100 years ago, I would not have survived.
Well, you would have been way too busy.
Well, distracted, you mean?
Yes.
To pay attention to the dangers around me that...
No, I mean you would have been way too distracted by the shit people made you do to think about any of this stuff.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's the nature of the illness. No, I wouldn't have been. People would have had me, you know, go do something. Said, hey, go do this thing, and I wouldn't have done it. I would have gone out with the intention to do it, but I would have gotten distracted by something, and I'd be sitting there thinking about it when...
We could have made you do it.
The saber-toothed tiger sneaks up behind me and kills me, and everybody in the village is like, yay, he's dead. Oh, I don't want to listen to that jerk.
You said not that long ago, so I'm going back
to
the 19th century.
Okay, yeah, but even then.
No, dude, you...
Okay,
you...
put me in a 19th century factory with the machines running and everything else.
That is true. That is not a good place to
be. I would have gone right into the machinery.
You would build my railroad. Trust me.
No.
I would see to it.
I would die somehow. I would be too close to the dynamite when you're blasting through a mountain, or I would not be paying attention when a spike goes through my foot and severs an important artery, or something would happen to me. I would die because I wouldn't be paying attention.
That's true.
That's what this affliction does. It causes you to...
But up until that point, you would build my railroad. I would see to it.
No, I don't think...
I would have people...
I think I would be one of the casualties.
Yeah, but first.
How could I? I'd never finish it.
No, you'd start. Then I would have many, 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 many other people who had been
okay, fine.
Sent down terrible paths.
I could start, but I would die. And everyone would celebrate that I'm finally dead and shut up, and they'd be glad I didn't have any offspring.
No, they definitely would not celebrate.
Why not?
Because I'd put them back to work.
Oh, I see. Later.
Yeah, quietly. They would internally celebrate.
Well, they'd get together after work, and man, that was an awful day. He's a slave driver, but at least William's dead. That's so we can always be happy about that.
William, I always said William couldn't build a railroad.
No, he just talk all the time about the stupidest things. Like I'm trying to drive a spike, and he's talking about the nature of matter.
See,
and
I think you don't even know it yet, but soon you're going to discover time travel, and you're going to go back. And you're going to start the concept of podcasts.
No.
Because this is what you're built for. Podcasts. You can't build a railroad, but you can sit in front of a microphone and talk about shit that whatever the hell comes to your mind.
So I wonder how people kept being born who had this affliction when all of their ancestors should have been like dying in tragic ways while they're contemplating the mysteries of the universe when everyone else is hunting and...
Clearly they couldn't. Clearly you are a mutation.
Well, some of them had to survive. Maybe...
Well, yeah, rich ones.
Maybe. Or maybe... Maybe there were some cultures that, like, felt sorry for him and took care of him, or, you know.
Thought it was spiritual. And...
Or something. And just ignore that guy over there.
The shaman will tell us what's wrong. What? Are the gods angry? Well, that's the thing. There's not really gods, per se. Just in your... Oh, we see what you say. You're giving us this brilliant...
Exactly.
See, he speaks in riddles. No, I'm just trying to explain. God as a concept I can get, but I don't really... Oh, yes, of course. He told us to go build the railroad.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Somehow, some quirk of something in nature allowed people like me to survive, and it's kind of sad, really. But I suppose if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have college professors.
Yes. Or religion.
Yeah. Or podcasts.
Or podcasts. I'm telling you, or podcasts is important.
Mm.
We're way over time now, so we should probably end this. And I have a sandwich waiting for me.
Okay.
So thank you, everybody who listened.
And thank you, Stuart Azure Talon, and whoever Anonymous
was. And keep listening.
And if you have a cure for philosopher... put it in the blog.
And tell him how time travel works. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell William how time travel works. Also, go to Facebook and like us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at notquitetony.
Which is especially true now since you watched Sucker Punch. The little piece
I'm
of you has died.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, email the hat so that we can have more stuff to talk about. email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And I think that's it. So have fun. And be good to yourselves and each other.
Party on, dudes!
We'll see you next week.
Next week.
I got to shove a lot of meat in that safe.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.